Although there's no date set in stone, the race to next year's federal election seems to be well underway, with a number of pledges being announced over the last few weeks. The former Australian of the Year and leading mental health expert, Professor Pat McGorry, is warning that both Coalition and Labor need to put what he's calling a shadow pandemic of mental health at the centre of their COVID recovery plans. He's warning the psychological impacts of lockdowns and time spent in isolation are now four times greater than the virus itself. Professor McGorry is also Executive Director of Origin, a youth mental health service based in Melbourne. You know, when we look at the current situation, Professor, we might think there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, cities are emerging from lockdown. We're now seeing a bit of travel. Some people might say returning to a sense of normality at least. But what's happening at the moment when it comes to people's mental health? What do we need to be putting front and centre here?
Well, firstly, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We actually are emerging in a pretty positive way, and our nation has actually contained the pandemic very successfully. So the impact of COVID on death and disability in our country is relatively modest. That success also contained the mental health impact, as you can imagine, if we'd lost tens of thousands of people, mm-hmm. there would have been an awful lot of grief and loss and mental health problems from that. So the policies have been good, but now that we're emerging from it, we do estimate that the mental health toll from the measures necessary to contain the pandemic is very, very significant. It's probably about four times in 2020 what the virus inflicted. So we know from previous disasters that the mental health toll goes on for months and years from a disaster, even from a more local disaster like a bushfire. For this type of disaster, it's just very, very significant and will last for a very long time, and we need to address it. And we know that our mental health system was already not coping at all, even prior to the pandemic. So we've got a major national building project ahead.
So you met with the Prime Minister and the Federal Health Minister yesterday on that note. What did you raise with them? What did you tell them?
Well, I just put that case, and it's kind of, at one level, it's pushing on an open door, both with the PM and Greg Hunt, and also with met with Mark Butler too, the federal opposition spokesman on health, who is a former mental health minister. So it's bipartisan what we're saying to government and the alternative government, that this needs to be centre stage now, and we do have solutions. What I've always done with government of any persuasion is basically formulate and present the solutions to the mental health problem that we're dealing with, and that's what I did. And you know, I got a very good reception on all sides, I have to say.
I was going to say, what was their response? I mean, you've had a good reception, but do you think that there's an undertaking now to address this? Because as you raised, we're not talking about days or weeks here now the lockdown's ended. You're expecting some long-term effects here in the years to come.
Well, the sort of issues that have to be addressed are workforce. We have platforms of care that we could roll out across the whole country to back up our beleaguered emergency departments and our GPs and our headspace centres. They're struggling with demand. The big problem is the greater complexity of mental health problems that sits behind that. And for that, we need visible platforms of multidisciplinary care across the country for different age groups. And obviously, I focus on young people, so we need a backup system for headspace. But we need skilled workers. They're in very short supply. So even when the government does announce funding, which they have done during the pandemic, we're struggling to fill these positions because the workforces are just not there because of the neglect of mental health over such a long period.
And do you think that there's an undertaking now to try and change that, to try and boost that workforce in the as soon as one can?
Well, I think we've got a few months to go before the election, but I certainly hope that, you know, we'll see some very significant plans emerging on all sides of politics as we move into the election period. And we don't have any undertakings yet, but we're having the dialogue, and we're getting a good hearing, I would say. Mm. But the time now is for really decisive action. And you know, mental health's always been at the edges of mental health care. More recently, it's moving to the centre, and this government's helped with that. But we've got to move it right into the centre now, and it's significant investment over the next few years. But it's also strategies to assemble, you know, the right culture of care and the right workforces.
Traditionally, there's been a lot of stigma when it comes to mental health issues. Do you think things are changing at all on that front, Professor?
They've changed a lot in relation to the sort of more common mental disorders like anxiety and depression, but not that much for the more serious and complex and misunderstood illnesses. But the main way, you know, this is where I don't totally agree with the way stigma reduction is being tackled. Education and, you know, information will take you so far. But the best way to cure stigma or get rid of stigma is to actually have successful healthcare. We saw that with the feared infectious diseases of the past, like tuberculosis, and we saw it with epilepsy. We even saw it with cancer. Once you start to treat people effectively and get good outcomes, which we can certainly do in mental health if we invest in it, that will cause stigma to just melt away.
That's Professor Pat McGorry there, former Australian of the Year and leading mental health expert.